the latter part of verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1, the prayer of the Apostle Paul for the people of this church was that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will. You want to underline that phrase if you mark in your Bible, be filled with the knowledge of his will. And then he states, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So in light of what I said prior to reading the text, it's interesting to note that you can have spiritual understanding. Amen. In other words, there's things that are of a spiritual nature that you can understand. Amen. But the message this morning is being aware of the will of God. Being aware of God's will for your life. Do you know what that is this morning? Do you have any clue? Are you even interested today in the will of God for your life? By definition, we have said that the will of God explains to us the desire that God has for our life. The will of God explains to us what pleases God, what God would take pleasure in as you would serve him and fulfill his will. God wants to be pleased with my life. God wants to be pleased with your life. God has desires that he wants fulfilled in your life and in my life. So what does God want for your life? What does God want to do in your life? What does he want you to be? And where does he want you to serve him? How does God want you to live your life? Those are the things that we are interested in when it comes to the will of God. Now, we've said many areas affect the will of God. Many areas of our life find themselves in conflicting with the will of God. First of all, we know that our flesh is contrary to the will of God. It's an enemy of God. We know that this morning. And our feelings sometimes, the way we feel and the emotional structure that we are made up with sometimes, amen, many times, oftentimes, amen, they conflict with the will of God. Then sometimes your family can get in the way of you doing the will of God for your life. Sometimes friends can, amen, corrupt your communication, and in that they can lure you down paths that is not pleasing with the Lord. Sometimes financial situations and financial settings conflict with the will of God. There's a lot of things, amen, that can get in the way of you doing and fulfilling the will of God for your life. But I want to repeat this verse again today from Psalms 40 and verse number 8. The Bible said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. I wish that would be the prayer of every individual in this place today. The prayer of every saint of God this morning in the house of God would be this. I delight to do thy will, O my God. I wonder if you can honestly, sincerely, and with confidence in your heart this morning pray that prayer. I wonder if you could make that statement. I wonder if you could say this morning without any fear in your heart, I delight to do thy will, O my God. The latter phrase of that verse is this, yea, thy law is within my heart. And so if you're going to do the will of God, if you're going to delight to do the will of God for your life, then it's very evident that the word of God has to be manifested in your heart. Is the word of God in your heart today? Do you have a desire, amen, in your life to walk in accordance to the word of God? We'll look at that maybe in a little different light here in just a few moments. We have two main points of the structure of the theme that we've been dealing with. And I don't want to bore you with a lot of introduction, but repetition is the best teacher, amen? And you learn that pretty quick. The will of God for the sinner. You know that God has a will for the lost? You know, the will of God, even though it is a spiritual thing, and even though it's a biblical thing, and even though it's a godly thing, those that are without God, those that are dead spiritually, those that are outside of the grace of God, God in his sovereign plan has a will for their life. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so this morning, if you're lost without the Lord, God has a will for your life. You may not be interested in the things of God. You may say, preacher, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe what you're preaching this morning. Well, in the midst of all of your unbelief, I want to tell you today that God loves you. In the midst of all of your disagreement and all of your argument and all that you would say, in the midst of that, you may stay in the state that you're in, but I want you to leave this building today knowing that Jesus loves you and he gave his life for you. You may die rejecting the gospel. You may die an agnostic. You may die wrapped up in humanism. You may die wrapped up in your own self way. But if you do, I want you to know today that Jesus loves you beyond your imagination, and God sent his son to die on the cross for you, and he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there is a place in God's grace for you this morning. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I can say that today. Amen. I'm glad that I can say from the pauper to the king that there is a place in the grace of God for you this morning. The will of God for the sinner is for you to be saved. Then we started talking about the will of God for the saints of God. And that has been the emphasis of the messages that we have preached over the last several weeks. The will of God for the saints of God. In Colossians 4 and verse 12, Paul says here in these verses that we can be perfect and complete in all the will of God. Instruction in a prayer life, listening to truth, responding to the word of God. At your level right now, where you're at spiritually, you can be complete in the will of God. Being in the will of God and being complete in the will of God is not living at the stature of someone that's been saved 40 or 50 years. But being perfect and complete in the will of God this morning is living in the light that God has given you to walk in today. Amen. So where are you at? There are people in this building that's far more immature than you are in a lot of ways spiritually, but they're more complete in the will of God. Amen. Amen. There's people I could point out in this building right now that had not been living for God or exposed to the kind of preaching that you've been exposed to all of your life, and you know a whole lot more than they know. Amen. But they're more complete in the will of God than you are, because they're walking in the light that they have received from the Word of God. And so it's God's desire that we could be complete in the will of God. Do you have a biblical understanding of the will of God? Do you know the will of God for your life? Are you complete in the will of God? Don't plead ignorance with me now this morning. We live in America where there's computers and rocket ships. All right? Amen. The most educated age that's ever lived exists today. Amen. That's right. And you can't deny that fact by the benefits that we reap. Amen. We live in the most advanced age that we've ever lived in. And I'm asking you a question. If you're in this church, been here in any length of time, are you complete in the will of God? Are you complete? Well, we talked about how the will of God involves the gift of God and the grace of God. And we talked about that from the book of Galatians. I'll not bore you with that again. Then we talked about the will of God and how it involves our responsibility and the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother, my sister, my mother. And so if you want to have a relationship with Jesus, if you want to have the relationship as a part of that family, then you're responsible to do the will of God. We talked about how that the will of God involves serving your generation. How that David said that he served his generation by the will of God. And on and on and on. I've preached through many different avenues of this message, and so I'm not going to go over them all. But I want to focus your attention for the service this morning, and we'll be back here, Lord willing, tonight in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. There's about three things that I want to address today with the help of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you would abound more and more, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Notice for the phrase of verse 3, you ought to underline it in your Bible, make a note of it. For this is the will of God. Amen. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Now we'll leave off our reading there. Let's read verse 8. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now I want to preach to you for the service this morning and tonight, and we'll see how far along we get on the will of God, being aware of the will of God in service, sanctification, and separation. I want you to think about that. The will of God in service, sanctification, and separation. Amen. And so hang on to your seat. Amen. As we try to handle the word of God and let the Lord speak to our heart. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the will of God. Amen. I want to be in the will of God. I want to fulfill what verse 7 is talking about. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's a word that this day seems as if men are ignorant of. The subject of holiness. The subject of godliness. The subject of living, amen, a fruitful and a separated and sanctified life. And that revolves around the service of God. God wants us to serve Him. Do you understand that this morning? That God has a desire that you serve Him. Are you serving the Lord? Who are you serving? You're serving someone. I've made this statement for years, and I'll make it again today. Amen. You can't keep your life. Your life is not your own. You're not going to keep it. Amen. You're going to either throw it away or give it away. One or the other. Amen. You'll throw your life away to something that is meaningless. You'll throw your life away to the flesh and the sin, or you'll give it to somebody. Amen. You can give it to God. You can give it to the devil. You can throw your life away, but your life is not yours to keep. God gave you life, amen, when you came into this world, but it's not yours to keep. Amen. You might as well get a handle on that, and it'll help you spiritually. The greatest thing you could ever do in your life is give your life to God and let God use you. Let God allow you the opportunity to do something fruitful, to do something fulfilling, to do something that you can enjoy with your life as you serve God. I'm going to preach this morning on this thought, amen, the will of God in service. And I don't know that I'll be able to get past verse number 1, but notice what he says. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave unto you by the Lord Jesus. Verse 3, for this is the will of God. Let me talk about serving the Lord for just a moment. Are you serving God? Are you in the will of God in what you are doing for the glory of God? Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be a preacher. That doesn't mean you have to be a missionary. That doesn't mean you have to be a musician. That doesn't mean that you even have to sing in the choir. It just means you're serving the Lord. Amen. Your job, your daily function in life can be a part and aspects of serving the Lord. May I say, first of all, this morning, there is a path of service. In verse number 1, he tells us, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God. And so when I think of the service of the Lord, I realize that there is a path of service. It is the will of God that you walk with God. Well, preacher, I'm a mechanic. I'm a truck driver. Amen. I work in a factory. I work on the construction site. Amen. I work in an office. I deal with people every day. I don't deal with anybody through the day. I don't know what your job may be. You may be a housewife. You may teach in the school. I don't know what you do with your time throughout the day. But I'm going to tell you what. You're walking. You may lay in the bed most of the day for all I know, or sit in the recliner. But spiritually, you're walking. And the question is this morning, are you walking with God? Do you have a walk with God? If you're going to serve the Lord in the will of God, there is a path for this service. And that path involves walking with the Lord, walking with God. Now, walking involves some things. Walking involves life. Amen. Right? You can't walk unless you're alive. You can't walk spiritually unless you have spiritual life. But walking involves life. That's where it starts. Amen. Life starts. Then there's strength, and then a stability is established, and you develop the ability to walk with God. It involves life. Are you listening to me? It involves life. It involves liberty. Amen. The ability to walk involves liberty. It involves light. Amen. You can't walk in the dark. I mean, you can, but somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to, amen, get misdirected. You can't walk in the without light. You can't walk in darkness, and you can't walk without a longing. Amen. You're not going to walk anywhere unless you got a longing to get somewhere. Amen. Come up here. Where'd Jacqueline go? She come up here with the baby just a minute. Amen. I'm talking about walking now. Now, I could get a thing out of his mouth. I could take Wes here, and he's laying in his mama's lap, and I could set him down here and do everything I could for him, but he ain't going to walk. He's not going to walk. Sit down over there with Joseph just a minute, or somewhere, just get out of the way. Let's see if he'll come to. Come here. Come here, Papa. You say, Papa. Huh? I want to show you something. You can't walk without life. Now this is life right here. This little fellow right here is alive. All right? But now, I can sit him down here, and he's liable, he'll stand there for a little bit. But see, he's holding on to me. But see, he can't walk. See him? See him getting down? You see him right there? Look at him. Watch him. Stand right there. Stand right there. Now walk. Can you walk? See, he can't. See, watch him. See him? See him? He can't walk. He's got life. But there's some things he's lacking. There's things he's lacking. He lacks strength, and he lacks stability. He lacks strength, and he lacks stability. I'm going to tell you what, if he's going to walk, And if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to be established in the faith. You're going to have some stability. Amen. And you're going to have a longing. We wouldn't put this little fella in the dark and expect him to walk. Now, would we? It takes strength. It takes stability for him to walk. Now, I'm going to show you something now. Now, he can't walk. Stand up. Stand up. But if he could walk, what do you need? Where are you going? I want you. Come here. Stand up here. Come on. Stand up here. Stand up here, boy. He's getting mad. You know why? Watch him. You ever done that with God? You ever walk with him? Take strength, take stability, but none of that is going to exist unless there's first life. That boy's got life. He wanted his mama. Now I'm going to tell you what, in a few more months, I could stand him right there and mess around with him, and when he saw his mama, he would walk right straight to her because he wants her. Amen. I'm his papa. Brother McQueen's his granddad or whatever, papa or whatever they call. Amen. And I'm sure they got toys that he plays with. I've got horses he can ride. I take him out on the four-wheeler, take him a ride on the Kubota and everything else. And I can offer him everything that you can imagine as a grandfather to win his affection and want him to desire me. But when it's all said and done, when mama walks in the room, he wants mama. And there's not enough toys and pretties and things you can do for him to steal that affection. It's because she's the one who carried him and brought him in this world. And everything he knows about life and his existence physically revolves around the heartbeat of that mama. I'm going to ask you something. It's the will of God for you to serve him. But it's the will of God for you to walk with him, not in a mechanical sense, but you walk with him, amen, based on a longing and a thirst because you have received life. Have you ever received life? I'm talking about life from God. I mean, what an illustration. Amen. That boy's got life. That life, amen, revolves around his desire, his longing for his mother. Would to God we'd have that thirst and desire for the things of God and for God's presence to be real in my life. Amen. Do you walk? Do you walk with God? The path of service involves a walk. Come up here. Come up here, Jesse. Not Jesse. Yeah, whatever who you are. Jake. Walk up here to me. Walk up here to me. Walk up here to me. Show everybody you can walk. Show everybody you can walk. Now. Now. Jesse ain't walking. Can you walk, Jesse? You can? Well, why ain't you walking? Why ain't you walking? You that smart, huh? You can't figure it out. Why ain't you walking? Man, you're about as big and strong as your mama. This boy can walk. This is a good thing. Some of you parents ought to get a handle on what I'm fixing to tell you. This boy has the ability to walk. But the reason why he's not walking is I got him, and I'm not letting him walk. He can walk, but he's not walking because he's got so dependent on me carrying him that he don't walk, but he can. We don't let our children learn to think for themselves. And I said, I'm not preaching on the home. I'm preaching about serving God. We don't let our children think for themselves, walk for themselves, act upon themselves. Here's what we do. All we know they can walk, but we're not going to let them walk right now. Amen. The reason why this boy is not walking is because I'm not letting him walk. You know what it takes to walk? It takes life. And in that life, you've got to have strength. You've got to have stability. Life has to have somewhere started. If you're going to walk down the path of service for the Lord, you're going to have liberty. God is going to give you liberty to walk with him. Amen. Yes, there are some boundaries. And yes, there's things that that God, when we'll deal with that, Lord willing, tonight, we'll look at some things that God, amen, desires for us to stay away from, because God is not in those areas. And if you're going to walk with God, you most definitely can't walk down that path. But the point I'm trying to make is God will give you liberty to walk. He's going to start life. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to give you stability. And he's going to give you, amen, the ability to walk. And if you're saved by the grace of God, there will be a longing in your heart, a longing in your soul, a thirst within the innermost part of your being to walk with God. You young men walking, which way are you walking? Who are you walking toward? Is it all about mechanics? I told somebody yesterday, I said, I can do anything I want to do right now. Anything. Ain't nobody in this building can stop me from doing what I want to do. Nobody. I have a desire to walk the path of service and to serve the Lord. So it is the will of God that you serve him. But in the will of God and the structure of God's will, you need to be aware that there is a path of service. Amen. The path of service involves your walk. The path of service involves the will. Here's what he says. Notice what he says in verse 1. And I don't know if I'm going to get finished with this message or not. But in verse number 1, notice what he said. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you. You know what's being said there in those verses? He's saying to us that in this path of service, there is a walk involved, but in this path of service, there is a will involved. If there was no will involved in serving God in the will of God, you need to listen to me. I don't want to get over your head. You need to learn to listen. The path of service involves a walk with God, but this same path of service involves your will. If there was no will involved here, Paul would not have used the language that he uses in verse 1 where he says, I beseech you, brethren. That word beseech basically means that Paul is earnestly begging them. Now, they're saved. They have life. But apparently, they have the potential to have life with God and not walk with God or be in God's will. Or Paul would not use the verbiage that's used here in the text before us. And so you need to understand, if you're going to serve God in the will of God, you have a will and a volition that must be exercised, amen, to do the will of God. You've got to make a choice. Now, I preach that and preach that and preach that. You know what? I'm going to preach it again. Today, you have a will, and that will should be encompassed by the will of God. You have a natural mind and a natural flesh, but if you are saved, the Spirit of God has taken up his abode with you, and in that work of salvation, you have a divine nature that has the ability to make a choice to serve God and commit your life to Christ and live in the will of God. God's not going to make you serve him. God's not going to make you do right no more than he put a barbed wire electric fence around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. But you can serve the Lord in the path of service. But it's going to take your will. You see that there?
In verse 1, I'm preaching from the Bible now, not Sadie's Almanac or your illustration book. I'm preaching from the Bible. He said, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you. He said, not only do we beg you, but we are encouraging you to do the will of God. How many times have I said, the world has nothing to offer you, Willie. The world has no fulfillment. You can go there and run with the cusser and run with the drunkard and run with the fornicator and fellowship with the ungodly. But their life is unfulfilled. Oh, they may be having a smile today and fun along the way, but they have no pleasure. Amen. They have no pleasure. It's very seasonal. The pleasure in sin is a season. There's no fulfillment. There's nothing there that can offer you contentment and peace. Oh, yeah, they might be some fun, but it's a short-lived experience like a roller coaster ride. You smile and have all kind of fun, but the ride ends. And when it ends, you get off and you have to face reality. God will give you fulfillment. That's why you have a Bible. That's why there's a church right here. That's why there's churches across America. Because there were men in the past, as Moses did, chose. They made a choice to endure whatever affliction they had to endure, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season so that they might benefit the kingdom of God and serve the Lord and be a blessing to people and live for God. What about you? What about you? It involves your will. You're going to have to make a choice. What you going to do with the will of God? I made a choice a long time ago. I've made a lot of messes, made a lot of mistakes. And every now and then I have to reaffirm that commitment and reestablish my thinking, but I have a desire to do the will of God. But I must understand that the man of God right here wouldn't be begging me and encouraging me if I did not have a personal responsibility. I've said to you, serve the Lord. I've been where you're thinking of going and there's nothing there. I've been down that road and that's why I'm where I'm at right now. I've been there and seen the things you think you're missing out on. I've been down that path. And that's why I'm where I'm at right now. Does that make sense? That's why I'm serving God. Because the world and the pleasures of this world and the devil could not satisfy nor content what I wanted in my life. But you have a will. Thirdly, in this path of service, there is the word that comes into play in verse 2. For you know what commandments we gave unto you by the Lord Jesus. Amen. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, in this path of service, he's saying, I'm not trying to tell you something that you don't know what and how to. He said, you know the commandments that we gave you by the Lord Jesus. That's the way you'll serve him, or you won't serve him at all. You'll serve him in accordance to this Bible, or you won't serve him at all. I talked about church discipline on Wednesday night. And you'd be amazed at the people that left this building knowing in their heart and mind that they are not going to practice that kind of Christianity. Amen. Marking and avoiding, not eating with fornicators, drunkards, covetous people that call themselves brothers. I'm going to tell you what, I promise you I'll reach out as far as any man, humanly speaking, can reach out, try to help somebody. But there comes a time when their choice is made and I have to stay away. That's the only hope they have. The only hope they have of getting right with God is realizing each day they live that they're wrong with God. There's a path of service. I could preach about a lot of things. I preached about the man of God, preached about the qualifications of a bishop, preached about standards and all sorts of things we've dealt with. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. There's some requirements if you're going to serve God. There is a word from God that gives us complete instructions on how we're to serve, the way we're to serve, and in the manner we are to serve God right here in this Bible. Amen. So that's a path of service, the will of God. Let me just close with this. You have two other things that I would have preached if I hadn't got hung up on point one. But when you serve God in the will of God, you have to understand that you have to be aware of the path of service. You need to be aware of the pleasure of that service. And even though it is a pleasure to serve God, in verse number one, he says, ye ought to walk and to please God. Ultimately, serving the Lord pleases God. And so when we serve the Lord in God's will, God is pleased. Let me ask you something. Have you ever thought about pleasing God? I mean, really, just woke up one morning and said, you know, I want my life, Lord, to please you. I want to please God today. I don't want to worry about pleasing myself. I don't want to be concerned about pleasing someone else. I want to please God. Do you know I have seen people that live their life desiring to please the pastor, to please their mom, to please their dad, and that's all fine and good. But if you will live your life to please God, you won't have any problem pleasing the pastor. If you do, the pastor's not right with God. But the point is pleasing God. You know that you can't do that in the flesh, for they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't please, and I'd preach this, but I don't have time. You can't please God. The pleasure in service is not doing it in the flesh, and there's people right here serve God in the flesh. We got new teachers coming in, people taking different other places, and I'm going to tell you, teachers, you've had the fleshly ability to do what you're going to do, but you may please your student, and you may please me as an administrator of this school, but you are not going to please God because you can't please God in the flesh. You can't please God without faith, for without faith it's impossible to please Him. You can't please God without fellowship, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased in the book of Hebrews. The word communicate means fellowship. Basically, you can't please God just on your own. You need some help. You need, amen, a fellowship. You need somebody to please God with. You need somebody, amen, that will complement your life as you serve the Lord. You need somebody to pray with you. Amen. The Lord emphasizes that throughout the Word of God. Where there's two, if one falls, somebody can pick him up. If two or three agree on earth as touching anything when they pray, if two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. You need fellowship. You need somebody to please God with. You can isolate yourself and let your own self-centered personality create an atmosphere where nobody wants to be around you, nobody wants to serve with you. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to please God, you're going to make the sacrifice that is necessary, amen, to be with others and serve God together. It involves fruitfulness, Colossians 1:10. We read it just a moment ago, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The path of service, the pleasure of service. It'll be done spiritually. It'll be done with faith. It'll be done in fellowship. It'll be done with a desire and a thirst to be fruitful. Do you want to be fruitful? Some of you, we've started things. You know, I feel like this is what God wants us to do as a ministry. And everybody, there they are, you know, and here we go. And then all of a sudden, and then there's just a select few. The passion fizzles out. You listening? What are you doing in the will of God for your life? in serving the Lord. If you stood up and said, "Preacher, I'm serving the Lord, and here's how I serve the Lord. I'm a pastor. I'm an evangelist. I serve the Lord as a layman. I serve the Lord as a Sunday school teacher. I serve the Lord as a musician. I serve the Lord in working in the media or the sound. I serve the Lord in singing in the choir. I serve the Lord as a teacher of the school. I serve the Lord by helping clean. I serve the Lord by keeping the grounds. I serve the Lord by being faithful in tithes and missions and giving offerings. I serve the Lord. I serve the Lord. I serve the Lord. I serve the Lord." Don't get at ease in Zion. Are you prospering in serving the Lord? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be stagnant. I'm not talking about changing things, changing ways as far as ways things are done spiritually. I'm going to follow the book. But here's what he said in verse 1, and I'm finished. "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." Increasing in the knowledge of God. Flourishing in the work of the Lord. What about it? Are you just come in and sit down and do your little thing? You know no more now than you did a year ago. You know better at what you're doing now than you were a month ago. You're not doing any more in this field of service than you were a year ago. Serving the Lord in the will of God involves the prosperity of that service. Prosperity, gentlemen, does not always mean a bigger crowd or a bigger building or a nicer facility. But fruitfulness is fruitfulness. There are measures of fruit in the Word of God. I'm talking about numbers that calculate fruitfulness in the service of the Lord. Noah preached for 120 years, and he built an ark to the saving of his house, and not a soul got on that ark but his family and the animals that he would preserve. Was Noah fruitful? Yes, he was fruitful. Noah built an ark. And it saved his family and preserved the animal kingdom. And you're here because of that fruitfulness. And you're here this morning because one man, chose to walk with God, do what God said, the way God said to do it, and be faithful in it. Are you aware of the will of God this morning for your life as you serve Him?